Those of you who don't know, we've got an election next week. I know nobody probably has any idea, right? You know, my phone's been blowing up like, you know, everything going on, and you know, I'm getting, yeah. I was nobody before, but now I'm important. Oh, that's incredible. So, but tonight we want to just continue talking about, again, it's good to have a godly, you know, godly leadership. We need to pray for our government. You know, we'll start off in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. Let me just say this. Anytime you get into sin, sin complicates life. You ever notice that? Go talk to people who've been in, who, you know, if you've been to jail or been in prison or, you know, or you know, what have you. It definitely complicates life, right? There's joy and there's peace. You know, so everybody's been around those people before. They just love drama. You know, just anything you can say, hey, the sky is blue. Oh, it's going to rain. You know, they always have this, psychologically, we call it the power of disagreement. You know, because some people, they have that power. They're just going to disagree on everything. And I prefer peace in my life. And we see the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. So actually, joy is strength in your life. And if it comes from God, it's really good. Now, we know Christmas morning, there's happiness, right? You get a new puppy, there's happiness. But that wears off after a while. Because it has at our house. And we've got two of them, okay? And every time I get out there to clean up after the dogs or, you know, all of a sudden I want to give a bath or something, I keep hearing this these little voices, Daddy, you won't have to do anything if we get these dogs. We'll take care of everything. And what I do every time I'm walking out there, I clean up after the dogs. Daddy, you don't have to do anything. We'll do everything. That kind of wears off, doesn't it? You know, the happiness, now they play with them and they have fun and, you know, they do some things. Right, right. But I always hear that, you know, that, Daddy, we're going to take care of those puppies. You don't have to deal with any of it. And so I always ask every day, what happened to me not taking care of, and I have to worry about these dogs. Now, Adrian does most, you know, takes care of the dogs for the most part, but sometimes on the weekends I'll feed them and do different things. Aren't you just glad you came and you found out about our dogs today? Isn't this just great? But sometimes that newness wears off, like Christmas, you know, or, you know, when you buy a car and then the first payment shows up, you know, kind of those things. You know, it's always really, really cool there in the dealership. But joy is going to give you it's going to give you a centeredness, and especially when it's focused around Christ, it doesn't matter what your world is doing. It doesn't matter how the government acts, doesn't people act, your neighbors, whatever happens. On the inside, you can have peace. But one of the things that we're commanded to do in the Bible is to pray for our government and pray for good leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, this is ESV, and it says, first of all, this is the Apostle Paul, he's telling Timothy, his protege, which he later said, don't let people, you know, don't let them despise your youth, because there's a gift on your life. So we got young Timothy here, and he's telling Timothy, he says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, that's not real easy, is it? Giving thanks for all people, right? For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead, here we go, a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So we're seeing here that we go before the Lord, we spend some time praying for those leadership, and you think, well, what are my prayers? How important is my prayers for, you know, let me just say this. When Abraham, when the Lord stopped by and he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, stopped by and spoke with Abraham, and Abraham said, well, would you spare it for 50 righteous people? And God said, yeah. Do you think maybe our prayers are important too? Yeah. You know, The devil wants to come to you and he's so deceptive and say, well, your prayers don't matter. Your prayers don't matter. This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. It does matter. And there is power in prayer in the spirit realm. When we're praying, we go to God. You know, it says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What that means is when you pray in a right standing with God, you do have much power. There is a lot of power, and there you are doing things in the spiritual realm. And, you know, I prayed for people. They've gotten born again. They've turned around, and it has nothing to do with me, but it's all because of God working on our behalf to help people. Now, witchcraft is the opposite. It is you're trying to control people for your benefit, right? Now, of course, getting other people born again into the body of Christ, of course, it's going to benefit other people, but it really benefits you more than, you know, I mean, the end result is going to help you. So, you know, let's read that one more time. First of all, then I urge that supplications, okay, so we're providing a supply to people. We're praying for people. Prayers and intercession. So intercession is something that we're praying for people who may not know God. We're standing in the gap for them, right? I love to say my uncle was, I grew up around heathens, and I was a heathen at one time. But, you know, I remember I did his funeral years ago, and he got born again, spirit-filled, loved Jesus. I prayed for him, and I thought he would never turn around. You know, you're those people, you're just like, they're a lost case, you know? And I'm just like, it's going to have to be a resurrection miracle for him to turn around, and he did. And why? And it's all because we pray for people. We can pray for people. So again, Proverbs 21, 1. Proverbs 21, 1. This is the ESV as well. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from the King James. I know some, you know, I'm working on it, all right? When you got it ingrained in you so many years, so it's hard. Still a good translation. It says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. So what's that tell us? That whoever is in leadership, God can influence that person, right? Well, it says in there in Exodus where God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Why? Because he wanted to deliver Pharaoh. And it says in other places, he turns the hearts of the kings. So we know that if we pray, he can do things. How many times in the Bible have we seen in different times where the Apostle Paul would go in and talk to leadership, and he was in chains, and he was in front of Caesar, and he said, you know what, you almost make me turn around and want to become saved, right? Yeah. Because of the power and the persuasion and the anointing on the Apostle Paul that he is in front of kings and dignitaries, and they are going, almost sounds pretty good. I'm almost ready to do it. But, you know, the pride of life and your position, his position kind of got the best of him. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. ESV, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. That's interesting. I like that phrase, humble themselves. What does humble mean? Well, there's a lot of, but one of the aspects of humble ourselves means putting down what you want and picking up what he wants. I thought it was interesting that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, right? Genesis through Numbers. And so he wrote all of those, Genesis, and then he ended up Deuteronomy, which is kind of a combination of some of the previous books. But anyway, we see that Moses called himself the most meek man on the earth, which it sounds kind of arrogant, doesn't it? It's like if I said, well, I'm the most humble person on the earth, or I'm the most, you know, whatever on the earth. But he was right. He was right. And so we see somebody like Moses who went through, he had a high position with Pharaoh, right? He was actually Hebrew, But, you know, he lived in the, he was pampered. And then he went on, and what, he kind of lost it all or walked away from it all. I don't know how you want to, however you want to view that. Ended up in Midian, and his to-be father-in-law, Jethro, was high priest of Midian, and he began to learn the ways of God there. God met with him on Mount Sinai, and so he had a very, very amazing experience. But again, God turned his heart. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he could have been Pharaoh because he wasn't during the bloodline, but he still had a lot of position, and he was still royalty in the most powerful nation in the world at that time, but he forsook it, and God turned his heart in the process. He forsook, you know, again, it says he forsook sins for a season, the pleasure of sin for a season, to do righteousness. And guess what? What happened? It paid off for him, right? And not only was his obedience, it delivered him, but what? It delivered a nation of people as well, because the Hebrews, the Israelites, came out of Egypt, and they were free. So our a godly leader can set free millions of people if we're willing to obey and we're willing to humble ourselves. So so if my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray, here we go, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And what is really, what is sin? It's disobedience against God, but it's really a block between us and God. And it hinders us from hearing, from receiving those things from him. Ephesians 6:12. Now, too many times we're all focused on, you know, well, this party or that party, and yeah, there are natural things that are going on, and obviously there are people who are hindering and helping, and we know that's going on. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, there are things going on in the world that are spiritual matters, right? That are influencing people. Against rulers, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There are things that are, you know, it's interesting because Daniel had, do you remember when that guy Daniel, you know, he got tossed into the lion's den, and then, you know, King Darius came along, and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done this. And because he refused to not pray to God three times a day, right? So this guy is spiritually dead, is not born again, loves God. He's like, I am going to pray three times a day. It's just going to happen, right? Well, the decree went out. Long story short, he ends up thrown into a lion's den. Now, before that, he had prayed. And he had prayed for several days. And what did an angel appeared to him? And he said, oh, no, we heard you on the first day. It's just we've been fighting. He said, the power of the prince of Persia. Now, this angel was not wrestling against, you know, the actual king of Persia, but what he was talking about, the entity that's influencing that region, right? There was a spiritual force that he was dealing with. And the day Daniel prayed, he says, I was dispersed. There was a spiritual force. There was a principality that was hindering me. But I defeated it. I overcame it. What's he saying? We need to pray for those in authority, don't we? And there are spiritual forces behind the scenes that are influencing people, right? I believe that the devil's throne here on the earth, it does change seats sometimes, right? Because the enemy will float to whoever's got power and the most influence, right? Because he's not stupid. He knows that whoever's in power is going to be able to influence more people. So if they can corrupt whoever's in leadership, then that's going to impact more people, right? Mm-hmm. We see it was in Persia at one time. It was obviously in Egypt. It was in Germany during World War II, right? I think just 6 million Jews just disappeared because of no reason. There was demonic influence involved, right? And if you read about Hitler and everything that was going on, it was very demonic. It was very occultish in nature. So it's not just something that we're wrestling at this person and their personality, but there's forces behind that, right? I don't want to go into all of that that Hitler was involved with, but there are spiritual forces behind the scenes. So that's we as the church, we pray for these things that are influencing people. Jeremiah 29:7. Actually, let's go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. I'm sorry, Proverbs 11, 14. Am I boring you tonight? Are you okay?
Yes.
All right. I'm not talking about food yet, okay? Because I do get hungry up here. Okay? And I didn't eat lunch today, so I don't know why I'm telling you that. But I just said food again. That's not good. Proverbs 11, 14 says, I'm going to read out of King James, and I'm going to read out of ESV. It says, but where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Right? In the ESV, it says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Right? So what's this mean? It means if we throw everything off and there's no guidelines and there's no moral structure, there's nothing else, people are just going to do what they want to do, right? And it's going to be self-destructive behavior. Yeah. It's not going to be good. I've said this before, you know, when I used to just, you know, my buddies and I or whatever, maybe I'd be on the, you know, what have you, wherever, you know, you get a keg or, you know, you get a case of beer or whatever, you're drinking, whatever. You know, there was not like, hey, we're drinking beer and we're getting drunk and we're going to go, you know, paint a house for Habitat for Humanity. You know what I mean? There was like no good stuff going on, right? This isn't something that, hey, you know, we're going to go bless people tonight, you know? Because anytime you're in sin, life gets complicated and you're opening yourselves up to things that you don't want to. Why do you think they call it wine and spirits? It's an old term, right? And there's a reason why they call it wine and spirits is because you're opening yourself up to things, right? You can be perfectly normal, and then all of a sudden you do drugs or whatever, and all of a sudden you're opening yourself up to the spiritual realm. That's why some people, they do drugs to open themselves up to the spirit realm. Or they do these things because they are going to open themselves up and have these experiences, right? Which is not good. But what I'm saying is anytime that we don't have a counsel or there's any kind of godly instruction or any kind of direction, people are just going to go to themselves, right? I mean, think about it. If we got off, out of church later and we got on the road and we're just like, hey, you just kind of decide however fast you want to drive. Just free for all, right? Some people will be like, yeah, that's cool. It sounds really neat. My friend of mine was in military. He was stationed in Germany on the Autobahn. And, of course, the Autobahn, you can drive as fast as you want, right? That just... Phew. And he said he was in the military, and he came up to a few accidents. He says, I mean, he's seen some stuff in the military, and he goes, it was horrible. Because, now, I'm not saying that's... But what I'm saying is my point is that you kind of throw constraints off sometimes and you do what you want to. I've had friends of mine that, guy I used to party with and stuff. It was so sad. He was on his Harley. I waved at him years ago. I was just out of high school. And he went down my street about 100 miles an hour. You know, he's crazy. He's awesome and everything. And then an hour later, he died. So again, it's just one of those things where anytime we open ourselves up to these things, you know, it's going to be the devil's playground. And our nation, we definitely need God to come in. Because if we do see here, if I back up to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by name will humble themselves, right? That's pretty difficult in our, like, of our government right now, because everybody thinks they've got all the answers. You ever notice that? Everybody's got all the answers. I'll be the first one to say, I don't know everything. And I get really nervous around people who say they do know everything, right? You ever notice that? It's like, that's scary, because if you ever notice it, the more you learn, the more you understand you don't know, right? So I remember Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, he was over Rhema by, I mean, he's, you know, he was, you know, Rhema there and Bible college that we went to, one of them. And, you know, he's like, I just feel like I'm just the dumbest person. Sometimes I start reading things. I'm like, oh, great. I mean, if he feels stupid, where does that leave me at, right? But what it does, it means that we humble ourselves, because really, in a sense, we're nothing outside of God, right? I mean, we can't breathe. We can't walk. We can't do anything. And I remember watching a minister. It was one time, Keith Moore was talking about when the Lord, he's, you know, the school that I went to, he taught there, but he would sing. So he'd travel with Brother Hagin, and he'd sing, you know, in the Rhema Singers and Band, and do different, he'd travel with Brother Hagin and stuff. And he said, one day the Lord said, I'm going to show you what it's like not being able to be able to use your talents. And he goes, I couldn't sing. I couldn't hardly read. I couldn't do anything. I felt so helpless. And the Lord's like, see, there you go. That's what it's like not being able to have my anointing on you. So really, in a sense, I mean, we can't even get up. We can't do anything. We can't feed ourselves. We can't do anything without the grace of God in our lives. And so that's, I believe, humbling ourselves. We have the understanding and the revelation that, you know what, apart from him, we can't do anything. Matthew 6. I think one thing, too, is it's just we live in a world of negativity. And especially with everything that's going, it's easy to get sucked into the negativity, right? I mean, it doesn't take, I mean, you know, carnal people can see what's messed up. It's easy to, I mean, I can get irritated sometimes and go, oh, take me now, Jesus. Let's just go to heaven. Come on, rapture, hurry up. You know, you see what everything's going on in the world and all the crazy, creepy stuff that's going on with technology. And it's like, whoa, this is getting like really out there. but we can have hope, right? We can pray. We can change things. I believe that God, I mean, you know, the Bible also talks about the diligent shall rule. Now, we just can't just pray about things. We need to actually put prayer and action into it, right? We need more people that are going to run for office in this nation, right? We need more good leaders to come out. Not just, we're going to pray somebody goes there, but we need to have people that are going to step up and actually not be afraid to do the right thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says this matter. This is the Lord's Prayer. I think most of us have probably heard this before. But it says, Our Father is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. Here we go, as it is in heaven. So one of the things we can do as believers, and this is the Lord's Prayer, is we can pray down God's will from heaven into this natural realm, into this realm right now. So there's some things that are going to come to pass. Like, for example, I mean, at some point, the rapture is going to happen, right? I mean, if the Lord tarries, you know, if you're going to die, you're going to go to heaven. Now, you know, dying and going to heaven isn't really that bad of a deal, right? I mean, it's actually a pretty sweet gig, right? So really, so there's things that are going to happen, right? Tomorrow morning, the sun will rise and it will set, and the moon will rise and it will set as well. They're just things that are going to happen. You know, I'm just going to use my faith that, you know, the sun's not going to rise. Well, good luck with that, pumpkin, because it's going to happen, whether you like it or not. So there are certain things that God's plan will come to pass, but we can help facilitate that and pray those things out and help him do these things, but they're just things that are just going to happen, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how much the devil tried to do in the Old Testament. Jesus was going to show up because of Genesis chapter 3. Jesus was going to show up. He was going to redeem us, and he was going to die on the cross, right? So it didn't matter how much faith you and I had, God was going to do it. He was going to help us, and he was going to redeem us because he said that in Genesis chapter 3. But we can play a part and pray things out too, right? Well, I'm just going to pray the Holy Ghost is just going to go out there and do it all. No, 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 no. Adrian's doing cleaning the house today. Thank you, by the way. It was like the last few days she's really been cleaning the house because we do Christmas, you know, I mean, decorations this weekend. So right after Thanksgiving, it's like we're on the Christmas decoration thing, right?
No, we're doing it now, not after Thanksgiving.
No, I mean after Halloween. I'm sorry, Halloween. Yeah, Halloween is Halloween. So but yeah, she's, you know, we could pray, oh God, I just want to pray that our beds are made. You know, everything's taken care of. But you know what? There's just elbow grease has got to be happening sometimes, right? The dishes just don't clean themselves. I wish they did, right? I wish in the morning I'd wake up and little people would have cleaned the whole house. That would be great, wouldn't it? God, I just pray that the house is cleaned up in the name of Jesus. Nah, it's not going to happen, right? We got to scrub. God, clean. We got to do something, right? But there are some things we can believe that God will give us resources, right? He'll supply all of our needs according to riches and glory, you know? Well, I'm just gonna pray that all the angels are going to get people saved. No, we've got to spread the word, right? We've got to deliver and let people know about what's what's coming. We'll close here. 1 Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. Yes, yes, yes. 1 Timothy 2. God's goodness leads men and women to repentance. Isn't that good? Actually, I am going with First Timothy 2. Did I say 2? 1 Timothy 2, 1. This is King James. And we're close on this here. 1 Timothy 2, 1. And it says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. Now, we as believers, we need to take the mantle and pray. You know, we can stand and pray for people. And definitely like tonight, we were before church, we were praying for people. But you know, I always kind of like the whole scenario, you know, where everybody believes for finances to come into their hands, but nobody believes to be able to have money to give to other people, right? I always, you know, people, would you pray for this? Would you pray for this? Would you pray for this? Awesome. Are you going to pray too? Right? Are we going to do this thing together? Because especially as parents, if we're parents or head of our household or whatever that is, we have a responsibility to pray for our children, don't we? We have that responsibility to do things as the head of the house. You know, notice how too when some of the kids came up to Jesus and they said they wanted to pray for them, and what did Jesus say? Where are their parents? That's the first thing he said. I mean, he's definitely heals people, he definitely does things, but you ever notice that Jesus understood the authority that, wait a minute, where are the parents at here? They need to be involved in this, which is very fascinating. So as we as believers, not only do we, you know, Adrian and I worked at a call center one time when we were in Bible college, and people would call in and prayer requests, and we'd pray for people and do different things. And, you know, we obviously, you know, take requests here and everything. But I'm like, what if everybody was praying? You ever notice that? What if we all, you know, took our part and prayed for other people, prayed for our own family, prayed for things? I mean, Brother Hagin said, I don't even pray for myself anymore. Most of my prayer time is for other people. Because you're spending your time with God, and then from there, your relationship, right? You forget about praying. I don't sit around praying for myself a lot. I'm usually praying in the Holy Ghost or praying for other people most of the time, or praying for our nation. Because I just know, you know what, God's going to. Now, it doesn't mean I don't go to him and I don't, we don't talk. I don't, you know, hey, I need this. Hey, I need this. And there's not some things that I'm standing for. But most of my time is just fellowshipping with him. Communicating with him. I'm spending more and more time, verse 2, I'm praying for kings and all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Godliness and honesty. Later, I spent some time in Africa. I was in Kenya. I'll close with this story, but, well, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I was in Kenya, and I was over by Somalia. I'm going to tell you what, it's really important to have a good government, right? Or at least have a godly, where, you know, people have rights and we have some kind of semblance of law and order. I mean, you pull up to checkpoints and they've got belt-fed weapons pointed at you. You have to get out there, look, they ask you questions, you know. One night I was in I don't even call it a room. It's like just dirt with walls, and I got Muslims trying to kick my door in to attack me, you know? So, you know, if there's godly things going on, it's really important, because here, if there's some semblance of God and in godliness, we have peace, don't we? If we don't, I can tell you firsthand, just being overseas, it can get really ugly pretty quick. You know, it's like worse than the Wild West in some places. There is no peace there. But you know what? This scripture is so true that if we are going to pray the why, all godliness and honesty, so that we can what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life. In times where we're going into places and Vidar and I, it was like, you know, the military was asking us, do you want to pay for an escort? We need godliness, don't we? And I'm telling you, it's kind of interesting here in the United States, where we've kind of been lulled to sleep, and we're getting more and more, everything's becoming more sensationalized, and we're seeing more and more things happening, and we're seeing cracks in the armor in the nation. Why? Because we've turned away from God. When you go outside of here and you see that not everybody serves God, then it can get pretty dicey pretty quick. And we don't want that, do we? You don't want to live like that, I guarantee you. You don't want to live like that. That's why we want to continue to pray. And then last scripture here, John 10. Now, that's why it's important to vote next week. Vote righteousness. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to kill and to steal, and to kill and to destroy. And this is Jesus speaking. I come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you know that Jesus has come that we would have a life and have it more abundantly, and he's the good shepherd because he gives his life for us. That means he has sacrificed for us. The devil hasn't sacrificed anything for you, I'm telling you right now. He's not. All he wants to do is take, 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 and all God does and Jesus has done is give, 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 and give his peace. Life more abundantly, and we can have peace. Lord, I come before you tonight. I thank you for these people. Lord Jesus, I pray for our nation. I pray, just like Apostle Paul told Timothy, Lord, we pray for kings and those in authority tonight, that you would place godly men and women, those who are righteous. Again, Lord, we know they're not perfect people, but Lord, people who have your best will at heart, your interest at heart, Lord, we thank you that you're bringing those people into our nation, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life, Lord God. And we also thank you that there's anointing and help, Lord Jesus, that our nation will turn back to you, Father, and there is a great awakening in our nation like never before. And tonight, as we close, You know, if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. Jesus said there as he turned over the tables in the temple, he said, hey, my house is going to be a house of prayer. What is house of prayer? House of prayer is fellowshipping with God. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never, you know, received him, we want to pray for you tonight. Or if you need prayer for anything, please come up and we want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I also want to say one more thing. I forgot. November 17th. So it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're going to do a men's group breakfast at 8 a.m. Let's try it for 8 a.m. At Machine Shed, Iowa Machine Shed. So, you know, that's the promised land, you know, where the bacon is like, you know, flows like milk and honey, and the bacon is as long as your arm and 3-plate minimum. Youth club tomorrow night, 4. I'll send out a text reminder about the men's group, but it's going to be a good time, and we'll eat lots of good food, and yeah. We'll ignore any kind of, you know, we'll forget about the gluttony scriptures that day, and it'll all be blessed and fat-free in Jesus' name.